I hate to do this to you because I want you to stand again because I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 5. I'll be going to be reading 6 through 11. So stand with me if you can, and we'll be reading chapter 5, verses 6 through 11 this morning. Romans 5, 6 through 11. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we are still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Lord, I pray that you'll open up our hearts this morning as we study your word. It's so powerful and it's so enlightening to our lives. May we take from this things that we need to see, need to realize in our own lives of how you view us. Your love for us is so incredible. Help us to see that this morning. May your Holy Spirit speak. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Timing is everything, someone has said. A couple weeks ago, I was on a trip to Wichita for a workshop, and on the highway, I was cruising along, just doing everything right. It wasn't speeding or anything. And all of a sudden, a car pulled out in front of me. I don't know what he was thinking. He must not have seen me. I must have been a ghost to him. I don't know, but he pulled out in front of me. And immediately, my life went into slow motion. If you've ever been in an accident, you know what I'm talking about. Life goes into slow motion. I slammed on the brakes. I heard the tires squalling, and I threaded the needle. God guided my vehicle onto the shoulder, around the car, and I can still see the guy's face. It was like, I don't know what I just did, but something's going to happen here, and it's just frozen in my mind. But I made it through, and God safely navigated me through that situation. Timing is everything. We're going to talk about something that is about an event that is far greater than the event that I just described to you. Something that is far greater, more significant when it comes to timing. The Old Testament prophets longed for this time to take place. They looked forward to it. They anticipated it, but they didn't see it in their lifetimes. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, that at the right time, Christ came into the world, giving his life to restore our friendship, our relationship with God. But again, Paul makes sure we get the entire picture. So he gives four terms that describe how bad it was. Now, if we haven't got how bad it was from chapter 1, 2, 3, and occasionally and in the other ones, if we haven't got it yet, he wants to make sure that we get it. And maybe you haven't been here for those, so for those messages. So here it is again. Here is how bad it was. This is how bad the situation was. The human race was in dire straits. And there's four terms that he uses to describe our predicament as isolated from God because of our sin. We are utterly helpless in verse 6. There might be other words in your translation, but mine renders it utterly helpless. It means to be spiritually powerless, unable to do the right things, morally weak. We are utterly helpless, spiritually starved. Abraham was as good as dead when it comes to those things, and he was utterly helpless, but he had faith in God, and God brought life to him. We discussed that in the previous chapter. We were utterly helpless. And then he goes on again in verse 6 to say that we're ungodly. Mine says sinners, but it's a little different term that means ungodly. We're irreverent, disrespectful toward God. It's not just like we're just apathetic toward God. We're agnostic whether there's a God or there's not a God. You know, we don't care. No, this is an attitude of ungodliness that says, I don't want you, God, in my life. I do not respect you. I don't think you have power over me. I want to do my own thing. This is the kind of thing that is communicated in this word, ungodly or sinners. That's how bad it was. We were wicked in the sight of God. And another term he uses in verse 8, while we are still sinners. Similar word, but it kind of means, it has the connotation of missing the target, missing the mark. We've missed the mark that God has set for us. We've missed His standard. We have all failed. We're outcast from God's presence. Just as Adam was cast out of the garden, we'll talk more about Adam next week, Lord willing. We're outcast from God's presence. We're sinners. We've missed the mark. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it was. And then he goes on and gives another term in verse 10. We were enemies. We were enemies of God. Not just at odds. You know, like having a disagreement with God. I had a disagreement with God. I think it's this way and He thinks it's that way. No, we were at enemy. We were enemies. We are at war with God. That's how bad it was. We were deserving of God's wrath. It was coming. That's how bad it was. We were enemies of God, at war with God, in line to get His wrath. We were at the end of the rope, and there was no knot at the end of that rope. That's how bad it was. Then, at just the right time, I love that term, at just the right time, Jesus entered this world and gave His life for us. The most significant moment in history, the history of this world, it was a God-appointed time. Paul says in Galatians 4:4, "Is the fullness of time had come." It was the right time. It was the time that God designed and chose for God to send His Son. That was the time He chose for Jesus to come to this earth and to die and to give His life for sinners. You know, God's timing is perfect. God's timing is always perfect. He's never too early. We always think He's always too late. But His timing is always perfect. We may wonder why He hasn't answered our prayer, hasn't showed up and proclaimed what the answer to our prayer is. We get frustrated with God. We think that He's too slow in answering our prayers. Scriptures tell us that the Lord is not slow concerning His promises to us. His promise of coming again. He's not slow. What He is, He's patient. He's patiently waiting for you and I to turn back to Him. The fact that He hasn't come back yet is because he's patiently waiting on people to turn back to him. So the fact that he hasn't come back is not that he hasn't forgot about us. It's because he's patient with us. And you may know somebody that's not turned their life over to the Lord. Be praying for them. This is patience. This is God's patience for them to turn back to him. So spend time praying for those friends of yours or acquaintances that are not walking with the Lord. God wants them to turn back to him. God's timing is perfect. And we forget that part of that equation is building endurance in our lives, strengthening our character and building hope, as we've seen in the last passage that Nasser spoke about last week. The tough times are there to help us, to strengthen us, and to give us hope. But waiting isn't part of our nature. We don't always understand the reasoning, but God always acts at just the right time. And what's so phenomenal about this whole thing, that God sending his only son to earth, is that, you know, we didn't deserve this by a stretch of the imagination. We did not deserve this gift of grace that God has given us through Jesus Christ. There might be a few heroes in the world that would die for somebody that's especially good. You might be able to find some of those heroes in this world that would lay down their life for an individual, take up the sentence for somebody that's been falsely accused, maybe. But to die for someone in the category that we just described, that would be insane. I have never heard, I at least you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody stood up and said, I will take Charles Manson's sentence. I will take his death sentence. I don't think anybody did they? I don't recall. Nobody did actually do it. But Jesus did. Jesus did. God showed his great love for us in verse 8. God demonstrated, showed his great love for us, that while we were still in that state that we just described, he died for us. He didn't wait to clean us up. He died for us while we are in that state. How good it is. And now that Christ has died for us, if we place our faith in him, in what he has done, this is what it is. This is how good it is. And I'll borrow for a few verses from last week's message to make this point, how good it is. We have peace with God, verse 1 of chapter 5. We have peace with God. We are no longer enemies, are at war with him. We are at peace with God. Peace. Peace with God. And verse 2, we stand in grace. We're drawn into his presence. It's an undeserved place of privilege, my version says. It's an undeserved place of privilege with God. We stand in grace. We have full access to God. Do you realize that? We have full access to God when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. The temple curtain has been torn. The Holy of Holies is opened up because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And we now have access through Jesus Christ into the presence of God. That's how good it is. And verse 2, we can share in God's glory. We can joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory in eternity forever. Isn't that going to be amazing when we're all in heaven in the presence of God like none other? We can be in the presence of God here now, but this is going to be a completely different thing. We'll see God as he is. It'll be amazing, amazing place to be. sharing in the glory of God. And here's another thing, how good it is. We can rejoice, we can now rejoice in our trials. Not because they come, but in them we can rejoice. Because they help us develop endurance. They help us develop character. And it strengthens our hope of salvation. We are no longer helpless, but empowered to live the life that God has called us to. And He's done that through the Holy Spirit, who fills us with God's love. Another benefit of surrendering your heart to God and placing your faith in Him. The Holy Spirit fills us with God's love. In verse 5, God pours out His love in us through the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit and He fills us up with God's love. If you have trusted in Him, have put your faith in Him, you receive the Holy Spirit. It's not something you get 10 years into your spiritual walk. You get it the moment you surrender your heart and your mind and your will to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in, and it's like He doesn't just pour a little bit. He pours and He continues to pour, and it just floods out and it overflows and He keeps pouring. That's what it means here. He pours out His love, the love of God, in our lives. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, people around you know it. People around you know it. And here's another thing. How good it is. God, Christ died in our place. We are utterly helpless. We can't save ourselves. Christ did it for us. He died in our place at just the right time. While we are still in our decrepit, self-destructive state, He hit the mark for us. He hit the mark for us. And then here's another one, how good it is. God proved His love for us. He demonstrated His love for us. He didn't just talk about loving His creation. He didn't just talk about how we can be loved by God and how He loves us. He demonstrated it by sending His only Son to die on the cross in our place, took the punishment for us so that we could be forgiven. That's a demonstration of real love. He didn't wait till we got our act together. He initiated the reconciliation by sending Jesus to restore the friendship with Him. And here's another one. God will certainly save us. It's a much more argument. Your translation might have that term in there. It's much more. He certainly will save us from God's condemnation. It's a far greater extent type of a word. Since we have been justified, made right with God, even while we are still enemies of God, He will certainly save us and rescue us from God's wrath that is coming. Since we have been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and since His death restored our relationship with God, the fact that God raised Him back to life assures you and me that we too will have life everlasting. We will be saved from death. Just like God saved Jesus from death, we too will be saved from death. So now we can rejoice, verse 9 and 10. So now, and verse 11 here, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. That's the last point I want to make. How good it is. Our friendship with God is restored. We are now God's friends. We're reconciled, restored to a favorable position. Friendly relationships. It doesn't get any better than this. It doesn't get any better than this. Do you have this peace? Do you have this peace that I'm talking about? That Paul is talking about here? Do you have that peace? Billy Graham said, peace can be experienced only when we have received divine pardon. When we have been reconciled to God and when we have the harmony within with our fellow man and especially with God. That's when peace comes. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to pour out God's love in our hearts. He wants it to just overflow to the people that we come in contact with. Open up your heart so He can. So that He can pour out His love in our lives. Spend time in prayer and meditation of God's Word. So that He can pour His love into our lives. Hang out with other friends of God because that will encourage you in your walk with God. Don't isolate yourselves from the very thing that can give you life. Spend time with God, your friend. John 15 says, Jesus says, stay connected to me as a friend. Jesus wants to share everything that God shared with Him, with you and me. Spend time with Him. It was at the Feast of Tabernacles one day, the great day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was the feast that they had at the fall harvest time, much of what we're in right now. And one of the days they celebrated the water that God nourished the earth with. They gave thanks to God for watering the earth so that they could have the crops. And we've got our share of it this fall, haven't we? God has provided in such a miraculous way. And anyway, it was on one of those days, at the climax of the festival, Jesus stood up and He shouted this to the crowds. He shouted this to the crowds. He says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me, come and drink. For the Scriptures declare rivers of living water will well up inside of them and flow from their hearts. He was talking about the Holy Spirit that would be coming. It hadn't come yet in this manner. And He was talking about the Holy Spirit that was about to come. God wants to share His love. It wants to pour into your life His love. And He wants that love to overflow to people around you, around us. And once that love starts flowing into our lives, we cannot help but share it. There's no way that we can keep it inside because it'll boil up inside of us. And we'll begin to encounter people who are fighting against God. We were there once. We have the answer. How they can find peace with God. People whose lives are broken from sin. We have the answer that can bring healing and wholeness once again to that life. People who are helplessly wandering around looking for something to give them hope, looking in every direction they can possibly look to find hope, and it's not giving them hope. We have the answer that gives us hope. And we can share that with them. That's the ministry and the purpose that we've been given to do. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, our making friends again, once again, with God.